Everyone, I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. It's 5:07 p.m. on the 24th of November, 2020. We got a couple of interesting clips to start out the show with. The first is on the Georgia Guidestones.
Pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. I want to show you something that's more than just an allegory. I want to show you something that's life and death for you and your family and the whole future of our species. More than 100 years ago, powerful robber baron elites adopted a system known as social Darwinism, saying might makes right and we should just go ahead and follow Malthusian ideas of forced depopulation. And that idea grew from just shadows, just ideas being promoted by ruthless men. And it began to turn over the next 100 years or so into something very, very real. And it was no longer just shadows. It was a real manifestation of an idea for a one world government carry out the orderly depopulation of the planet, a brave new world. And that's where we are in the year 2020. All the planning, all the beta testing is over. And now the great reset is here. It's a future. And for 80%+ of us, we're not in it. We're here at the Georgia Guidestones outside the tiny town of Elberton, Georgia. These mysterious stones were erected by a secretive group in 1980. We've done deep research to track back exactly who's behind these stones and why they're so significant in the year 2020 and what the Great Reset signifies to every human on Earth. CNN founder Ted Turner reportedly funded the creation of the trust under the name R.C. Christian or Rosicrucian, with other donations from rich benefactors that wish to build an endless marker promoting their ideas for the future of the planet and humanity. Carved into the face of this blue pyramid granite in the 8 great languages of the world, this power cult tells us exactly what they believe and their plans for all of us. And notice that R.C. Christian and his little merry band of depopulationists have a whole bunch of cameras, some in plain view, some hidden, that reportedly go back to the local sheriff's department, who's paid a tidy sum of money every year to watch and protect this temple to the post-human era. When you erect a temple in the middle of the rolling hills of rural Georgia, when you spend tens of millions of dollars over 30 years to upkeep it and have surveillance cameras and floodlights and have it repaired hundreds of times when it's been vandalized, it's because it's what you believe with all of your heart. It's what you stand for. It's your manifesto. We're about to go over what's written on the face of the stone and then look at the individuals that financed it and their other public statements. And it is something akin to what would come out of the mouth of Adolf Hitler. These stones are more than just a temple. They're more than just a manifesto or a testament. They are commandments being handed down to us by those that would run our lives. And to a great extent, do run our lives under the Great Reset we'll cover more in a moment. But first, let's read the first verse. Maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. Like we're pets, like we're a dog or a cat we take care of, or like we're a museum piece where they cull the population from 7.5 billion down to 500 million. I wonder who the lucky people are that are going to get to live. But they're not just going to guide how many people get to live. No, no. They're going to guide, like China's one-child policy, reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity.
Well, it's certainly, I do agree that there's an overpopulation problem, but maybe the answer to that overpopulation isn't murdering 7.5 billion people, which I think is, that is what the plan of the New World Order is. Got another clip here on the Dominion voting. machines.
Hey, I am saddened to report to the taxpayers of Pennsylvania and the 1.3 million voters who trusted Dominion voting systems with their ballots that Dominion voting systems has hung you out to dry and slapped you in your faces.
PA Representative Seth Grove not mincing words in Harrisburg Friday after a roundtable discussion between Dominion voting systems was canceled overnight. Dominion says they're under litigation and cannot answer questions at this time. Representative Grove calling their bluff.
We're putting a stop to this right now. If you're not litigated and we ask you to come before us, we expect you to fulfill your promise of coming before us.
Due to widespread evidence of vulnerabilities, including memory card infiltration and security protocol failure, the controversial Diebold election system that threatened democracy in the 2000s was never replaced. Due to widespread evidence of vulnerabilities.
In Volusia County, Florida, an election computer counted Al Gore's totals backwards. He had negative votes. There was an investigation into the negative votes, and it was established that the problem couldn't have been due to machine failure, because only the totals for the presidential race were affected. It looked like a second memory card may have been loaded onto the computer. Memory cards contain the votes, but this second card had disappeared, so they couldn't check it. The software that counted those votes was owned by Global Election Systems. In 2002, they were bought by the Diebold Corporation. The software is a trade secret. It's against federal and state law to look inside Diebold's voting machines.
I was the chief technical advisor to the Secretary of State of the largest state in the United States, and I was not allowed to look at the software running in Diebold or any other vendor's voting systems. To this day, I have not been allowed to look.
Diebold merely changed its name to Premier Election Solutions in 2007. In 2009, Election Systems and Software acquired AKA Premier Election Solutions, and after the Department of Justice filed a civil antitrust lawsuit against Election Systems and Software, requiring it to divest voting equipment systems assets it acquired from Premier Election Solutions, the company then sold those assets to Dominion Voting Systems.
This now is Michael Steele, a principal with the Washington, D.C. firm Habit and Place Strategies, which is representing Dominion. Mr. Steele, thank you for coming on with me today. The first question people want to know, did a Dominion machine change one vote from Biden to Trump or from Trump to Biden?
No.
Some of the people watching you now, I mean, you know, they don't believe you. They think you're lying. They're going to say, of course, you're going to say Dominion's not guilty of anything because you represent the company.
Right. Well, I've got the facts on my side, and the president's attorneys will go on to press conferences, will go on TV and make these crazy allegations. And then 30 times they've gone to court and they have not offered a scintilla of proof. So all I can say is until we would love to see any facts and evidence they have. Thus far, we have seen none.
The Dominion voting systems, the Smartmatic technology software, and the software that goes in other computerized voting systems here as well, not just Dominion, were created in Venezuela at the direction of Hugo Chavez to make sure he never lost an election after one constitutional referendum came out the way he did not want it to come out. We have one very strong witness who has explained how it all works. His affidavit is attached to the pleadings of Lynn Wood in the lawsuit he filed in Georgia. It is a stunning, detailed affidavit because he was with Hugo Chavez while he was being briefed on how it worked. He was with Hugo Chavez when he saw it operate to make sure the election came out his way. That was the express purpose for creating this software. He has seen it operate, and as soon as he saw the multiple states shut down the voting on the night of the election, he knew the same thing was happening here, that was what had gone on.
So, Carson, walk me through how we're going to hack a WinVote machine.
Okay. The first thing we're going to do is we connect wirelessly to this machine. And so when we press join, now we're connected to the machine.
That's it?
That's it. What we learned from this is do not use wireless access points on voting machines. Just don't do it. And if you doubt that this is actually the WinVote machine, we can just look and list the directory. And here you see there's a directory called WinVote. And so we can also go into this directory, WinVote, just kind of press demo, and then I will have control.
And now you've successfully broken into the machine.
I have successfully broken into.
And you could actually, at this point, you would actually have access to the voter database.
Yes.
Currently, the United States is not a functioning republic. Our system has been hijacked. And it's up to you, not your politicians and not the mindless propagandists on television gaslighting you into oblivion.
As President Trump repeats false claims that he won the presidential election.
He's again claimed without any real evidence.
With zero evidence to back up his claim
that there is mass voter fraud going on.
The President of the United States essentially alleging that there is a conspiracy to steal and rig the election so that he loses. Again, there's no evidence to back up that claim.
It is up to you, the American citizen, to reclaim your birthright before it is completely stolen. John Bound reporting.
It's easier than ever to have band.video on.
Well, folks, we're living in a time that's very depressing. So let's not get depressed. Let's find out how we can keep from being depressed. And I think in the book, The Might of Thoughts, is some good advice on how to avoid some of these flattening of feelings. It says depressions are caused by the flattening of feelings. Might of Thoughts, page 92. Therefore, in each case, the particular unconscious state very strongly determines the emergence and the kind and the wise, as well as the intensity of the feelings which are called forth and formed through the conscious and unconscious thoughts. Remember, the feelings grow slowly out of the thoughts. The feelings shouldn't be suppressed. The feelings are very helpful. They make life easier. They simplify things. A lot of times, instead of analyzing all the little details associated with something, we just get a feeling. And that feeling reminds us of all these facts. So the unconscious mind consists of processes that occur automatically. And a lot of times our thoughts are automatic. We want to avoid automatic thoughts. We want to steer our ship. The analogy that Billy always says is, do not allow your thoughts to drift on the ocean of life, but steer your ship like a captain steers his ship. You want to nurture your thoughts, strengthen your thoughts, clarify your thoughts. So, but these unconscious thoughts are very difficult because they're not available to introspection. They affect the memory, they affect motivation, and they're automatic. So they work by themselves with little or no direction and human control. Introspection is the examination or observation of one's own mental and emotional processes. So that's one of the things we want to kind of make habitual. If there's anything that we want to have done habitually, it's introspection, observation of your thoughts and your mental, your emotional processes. But we can't have introspection with the unconscious mind. That's one of the difficulties we face. However, I think it's helpful to be aware that there are automatic processes that go on in terms of our thoughts. Unconscious thoughts can be extremely powerful. The unconscious or unconscious negative thinking produces the flattening of feelings that lead to depression. So I guess the notion here is that the feelings, they lose their highs and lows. And that's kind of, you know, you think, well, I want to be neutral anyway. No, this is not good. This is a different kind of thing. This is where you can't really experience happiness because you can't have any kind of high. Depressions are, this is page 102, depressions are based on acquired flattened feelings, which unambiguously, without a doubt, are determined by a conscious or an unconscious negative thinking. So we have negative thinking that we're aware of, that we're conscious of, negative thinking that we're not even conscious of. And if the negative thinking occurs, it stabilizes and deepens, then it decreases more and more the possibility that you can think positively. I think when people really get like clinically depressed, truly clinically depressed, then it's so difficult for them, or almost impossible for them, to have positive thinking. And this is an interesting excerpt from the spiritual teachings, from the Meyer spiritual teachings. And it's up on the FIGU website, on the dictionary, FIGU dictionary site. It says, the powers of the unconscious forms are connected with the powers of the subconscious. And the subconscious releases its stored knowledge to the conscious. So your subconscious can release knowledge to the conscious mind. That kind of sounds interesting to me. That's very, very interesting. Which then, through its own powers, transforms the received impulses, information, data, ideas, and explanations, and so forth, and so on, into action, life, and activity. As a matter of fact, thinking is closely connected with the education which influences one from outside, as well as one's self-education. Might of Thoughts, page 102. Positive thoughts must be learned, and indeed by every human being, because they are simply not given to anyone. So the book, The Might of Thoughts, one of the creational natural laws that it's connected with is this idea of harmony, having harmony in our thinking, to be neutral positive in our thinking. So all these things that we're learning about the unconscious, the subconscious, the feelings, and all of this are about learning as much as we can about the consciousness so that we can monitor it, we can guide our thoughts, we can nurture our thoughts. Page 102 here, The Might of Thoughts, which can then be warm or cold and therefore full of feelings or unfeelings. Both forms are susceptible and can trigger disturbance. However, warm and therefore feeling-laden thoughts can be much greater triggers of psychical disturbance than thoughts that are unfeeling. So we're supposed to have feelings associated with our thoughts, but there is a bit of a danger. These feelings do have a bit of danger. Now, if they're negative, if they're unhealthy negative, you know, you can have healthy, evolutive negative thoughts. Now, it's hard to determine if you're having a healthy negative thought. But I think the ones that are unhealthy tend to produce confusion. And the negative thoughts that are unhealthy also can produce a kind of rotating, repeating cycle of negative thoughts, where you have a negative thought, a negative feeling, a negative thought, a negative feeling. Sometimes it escalates and people can't even think about anything but whatever it is that's bothering them. It's very difficult to break out of. Sometimes you got to use a wish dream. Think about something pleasant. Think about something neutral. So you should nurture these pleasant thoughts. Learn to hold on to pleasant thoughts. If you had a successful day at work or something, And remember what you did and what you felt. Maybe you got a sense of satisfaction because you learned something, you solved a problem. Give yourself credit for these things. Don't chastise yourself. That's from the book, The Art to Leave and The Way to Live. Don't chastise yourself. You know, you want to reward yourself. You want to encourage yourself. So anyway, this comes from The Goblet of Truth, Billy Kelk der Wahrheit book. Actually, let me go back to the spiritual teaching lessons. This is another thing. This is called the mirror of the soul. It refers to the subconsciousness as the mirror of the soul. Unconscious of the subconscious and the subconsciousness forms in the memory of the subconsciousness, in which subconscious contents of all senses, norms, and value definitions are stored, as well as the values of the conscious. The facts of the impulsations and feelings of emotions, intentions, wishes, expectations, and attitudes, as well as individual characteristics and so on and so forth, which after all are the personality of the consciousness itself. So the subconsciousness is kind of a mirror of the soul. It's the mirror. It reflects your current state of affairs. So depression is a state of a low mood. And usually there's an aversion to activity. And it's so funny. Today I probably had an unrecognized depression. Like I was like, I don't want to take the dogs for a walk. I don't want to go outside. It's gray out there. It's cold, blah, blah, blah. And I just kind of forced through it. And I did it, and I felt much better afterwards. So it's funny how when the depression hits, that you have an aversion to activity. So anyway, I think I'll probably call it quits there. It's kind of a short show today. There's a whole lot more we can talk about here. I hope you're enjoying the programs. Seems like we are generating some interest out there, and I really appreciate the people that have been listening. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.